Hey, this is LOA Today, the Law of Attraction show. Truth, because I'm the happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm the happy. Clap along if welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Joel Elston here. It's Thursday, September the 29th, 2016. And this week we thought we'd kind of follow up with what we talked about last week. Last week we were singing the praises of Mike Dooley, one of the LOA gurus, one of the presenters on the internationally famous movie The Secret, because, well, we're both fans of him, and we're fans of his Notes from the Universe, a daily series of emails that he sends out to his legions of fans, and by legions I mean, last count, Joel, I think it was over 500,000 people on his list, so it's a pretty good size list. And this week we're going
to... It certainly is.
It is. It's huge. And we're going to take it to the next level this week, because this week we're going to talk about something that he's been bringing up a lot, particularly in a video series that he released earlier this year, and he has re-released it this fall, and I've been paying close attention to it. It's not all that different from what he has written about in his books and his speeches and tapes and so forth, but it does go into a little more detail, and it brings up kind of a controversial subject, if you will, within LOA circles, because he proposes the idea, Joel, that in general we should not be, well, we should be making our LOA wishes in general. We shouldn't get so worked up about the details. The details are what he calls the horrible hows, or I guess these days he calls them, what's the other word he uses for it? The not the terrible hows, or something else. I can't remember what it is, but the hows are what he wants us to stay away from. He wants us to make our things that we're trying to attract as general as possible, because in his view it makes it easier for the universe to get it done for us quicker, and we all love speed. But it's a little bit controversial, because as you and I were talking about earlier, it's a little bit different from what The Secret and the Abraham Hickses and so forth talk about, because they get a little bit more detailed about and suggest getting a little bit more detailed about what it is that you want.
Exactly. And we had, you and I have talked about vision boards and stuff that The Secret talks about, and where you literally picture the house you want, the job you want, the town you want to live in, the all the stuff that you want, you get very specific about it. One thing that I think both sides agree on is letting go of how we get there. That piece, I think there's universal compliance and understanding that how we get there isn't the problem. Where Mike tends to think the idea of keep the concept looser, and The Secret and the Abraham Hicks crowd thinks you need to be very specific. But I do think there's universal agreement on the how is the minutia of it all. That's where 99% of the people get stuck. They can't envision how this is going to happen.
And more precisely, people in general, we try to figure out what the how is going to be. And that's what Mike's talking about. Mike is basically saying, don't get caught up in all that, because the universe can envision it a whole lot better than we can, which is true. I mean, we have a very limited perspective. It's a good perspective. It's different for each one of us. We all have our own perspectives. But we're limited to what's in our immediate range. We can't really see anything that's, 20 miles away or 20 years away. Either way, it's kind of outside our visual range, unless we have some sort of, special electronic equipment that shows us what's going on 20 miles away, or special, transporter equipment that takes us 20 years in the future. But the point is, we have limitations on how far we can see, whereas the larger realm of whatever you want to call it, spirit, the universe, I don't care what you call it, can see a whole lot farther than we can.
Absolutely. And that's where I really like Mike's stuff of, I have sort of known, being a compulsive gambler, for example, I know gambling for me is not a conduit for the law of attraction, because I view gambling as a desperation. And so that I'm thinking that the universe, if I were to go gamble, and I'm speaking specifically for me, and that includes buying a lottery ticket, I'm saying the universe isn't capable of doing this, so I'm going to take the most desperate action I can imagine. And actually, I'm creating desperation. If you think that the lotto was the only way to get this done, then you're saying the most unlikely event is all that could possibly happen. And the universe wants to use the chain of events, because there's other, in my mind, I really believe this, I believe there's a point to the journey as well. I think that there's a process that takes place that actually is very fulfilling. And that's the amazing thing of how we get there is sort of the what makes it so fun to me, at least.
It is. It's potentially tremendous fun. And I think that's really where our attention should be on. It should be on the journey, because the journey, first of all, that's what's going on right now in our lives. So we're always on some journey somewhere, or sometimes multiple journeys, actually. And in addition to that, it gives us the opportunity to notice the good things that are going on, because that's how we find the part of the journey that's fun. So when we're focusing on the fun stuff, the focusing on the stuff that makes us feel good, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, when you're focusing on that stuff, first of all, you're not focusing on how stuff is going to happen that you want to have happen, which means that God, spirit, the universe, whatever, can make it happen. And it also means that you're going to be surprised a little bit. In fact, you can be surprised a lot, because you aren't planning out the details of how it's going to all come together. And one of the stories from my own life that I think of immediately whenever I think about this kind of windy, twisty turn kind of thing is the story of how Louise and I ended up in Virginia. I don't remember if I ever told you, but when we ended up in Virginia, for a number of reasons, we ended up with no cars. We didn't have a car to our name. And without going into the long story about how it happened, through a very weird series of events, we ended up walking out of a dealer's showroom with two brand new cars, even though we had no money and we had minimal credit and we had little prospect of getting a car, even one car. And we walked out with two. There was absolutely no way I could have planned that. It was beyond my ability to plan it. It was beyond my comprehension how to even go about making it happen. And I think I may have told you the story once. If I haven't, I'll tell it to you another time. But it was such an unlikely series of events that if anybody had sat down and said, okay, I'm going to write this as a movie script, the producer who saw it for the first time would have said, you're crazy. No one could possibly believe that would happen.
Yes, and that's the surprise of how it happens or how we get there. For years, I had when I was really getting into The Secret and my very minimal understanding of the law of attraction, I envisioned, and I even wrote out a business plan for a treatment center that I wanted. That would use, you know, as you know, I do addiction work. And right. So the treatment center was going to be a holistic treatment center, not so stuck in the 12-step program. While that could be an avenue we use, it won't be the point of the treatment center. I also wanted to use the law of attraction. I also wanted to use positive psychology. I had a vision of people eating good food, living in a good, positive environment. And
all that was really way outside of what therapy at the time that you were doing this was all about. I mean, these were all very radical ideas.
Exactly. And so I wanted that to happen. Well, my initial induction into addiction work, because my addiction is that of a compulsive gambler, as I mentioned, is working with gamblers. Now, gamblers, by definition, don't seek help until they're out of money.
And then it's basically, can they get a check somewhere?
Yes, exactly. And yes. And then it's likely that their family has already bailed them out multiple times. Mm-hmm. It's also likely that insurance won't cover addiction treatment for gambling. Mm-hmm. So getting people with money to pay for treatment with gambling is very difficult. Yeah. And the vision that I had was going to be a very expensive venture.
In other words, it was impossible.
It was impossible, but I said, well, you know, let's just try this. So keeping this story as short as possible, I received a call from a gentleman in Virginia. This is how I ended up in Virginia. And he was going to be opening up a treatment center at a plantation, an old plantation he owns, on 400 acres in a town outside of Richmond, Virginia. And I said he wanted to come talk to me. And I was like, okay, well, I was in South Carolina at the time. And he came down and he had showed me a picture of the house. He showed me his amazing plan, which almost was word for word. I pulled out my plan, and it was amazing how much they matched. And he didn't have a lot of exercises, a big piece involved. Well, he offered me a job that I was going to be basically director of the facility. So it was going to be my program.
That's insane when you think about it. I mean, you basically outlined something that was impossible, and this guy comes along and offers it to you.
And offers it to me. Now, the piece that I wasn't specific about, I wanted it to be my facility. I still ended up in control of that facility, is my point.
Right.
And it on multiple levels was exactly what I was looking for.
That's incredible.
And that to me was amazing, because this was an unheard of concept, and I was there for 5 years and really enjoyed it, and it was a necessary part of my step of where I'm at right now. It's been amazing, but for that to come about, it just was against all odds, and I really wasn't trying to. I created the vision board. And I wrote all these things out, but I was really not taking any steps to make it happen, because there's just no way. There would be impossible.
Yeah, where would you begin? Where would you start with something like that?
Yeah, and I was busy making a living running the treatment center that I was working at then. And again, it was a much different treatment center. We did quality work, but due to the fact that the money was so unavailable to gamblers, that we couldn't provide the services that I wanted to provide. This gentleman's from a very wealthy family. His wife is extremely wealthy, and they generously funded this facility just because he had the same vision I did.
Wow.
And I find that to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Just fascinating.
Yeah. Fascinating and extremely serendipitous.
Yes. So what I was able to do, and where I agree a lot with the horrible howls or whatever, whichever one we're using that Mike said, I didn't even have a clue of how, so I couldn't obsess on how. It was like, well, nobody's going to give me five. Yeah. 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 Nobody's going to give me $5 million to go do this. So I'm not going to ask, but I'll put it out there. And I said, this is what I want. Well, it fulfilled itself. And I find that amazing. And
no, I got to ask you something.
Another part.
Before you go to that, I got to ask you something. One of the tendencies all of us have, particularly when we're faced with something as daunting as this. I mean, this was pretty daunting. This was basically hoping for a grand slam and you weren't even in the stadium. And yet somehow it came off. Most of the time when somebody has a grandiose dream like that, it doesn't come off for them. Most of us end up in the place of maybe feebly trying to figure out how to make it work, can't make it work, and so we gain a mindset that says, well, that's never going to happen. And somehow you avoided that. How did you avoid that?
I wish I knew. I think because I obtained that perfect balance that you and I have talked about before, of wanting it but not obsessing about it, of having that balance where it's there, this would be wonderful, it's great, but it wasn't my every waking moment thought. It was where I would love to be, but you stayed away from all the negatives.
You avoided all the terrible how negatives that would drag it down. You somehow stayed away from it.
Yes, and I find that amazing that when he offered me the position, and I'm looking at this, I immediately recognize it and go, oh my goodness, this thing just. The piece I forgot is the title. I wanted it in my name, but at the same time,
we're not going to hold that part against you. I mean, that was pretty darn good.
Yeah. The fact that we were able to do it, and I was there 5 years, it was a very pivotal part of my career. But one of the things that I believe, Walt, and this is where it wasn't just that. That chain of events led me to Virginia, which led me to other opportunities, which led me. So within that, I kept using that manifestation to come up with different things. I evolved my plan. After I got there, I realized, wow, this is a wonderful way to treat addiction. And it's really, there is also a lot of stuff that goes on in a residential treatment facility that I found myself toward the end of my time at the company of dealing with minutiae that I didn't want to be dealing with. It was staff problems, and it was dealing with personalities and
right.
and not working with as much with clients as I wanted. So I changed my, what if I could go into private practice now, now that I'm confident that my techniques work, and see people individually? What if I could become a public speaker? What if I could finish my book and eventually become a public speaker and one day travel around speaking as well as seeing clients individually? I mean, I could, that's my ongoing vision that is fulfilling as we speak. And I find that amazing. At the same time, I don't know why it's amazing, because it worked so clearly before. I'm like, okay, well, I am expecting this stuff to happen.
And yet that separates you from so many people. I mean, it certainly separates you from me in terms of stuff that I've done in my own life.
I mean, yes. And you know, and because I really have just come up with, I know this stuff works. I know, you know, when I completed my book, I knew that I would complete my book. I finished my book. It has, you know, The Bench, for those that hadn't heard me talk about it.
Are there any left?
I don't know. I mention it frequently. you know, the idea that I sold quite a few copies for a unpublicized, unknown author. I've sold quite a few copies.
And that's amazing in itself. I mean, I don't know if people realize how hard that is to do. I mean, there are literally hundreds of thousands of books that get self-published each year that sell no more than 10 copies, and you've sold thousands. That's just remarkable.
Yes. Yeah, so that idea that we were able to get some of those books sold, and I get emails from people around the country that have read it and how it's touched their lives. So this is something that I expected it to happen. I expect it one day to really become very popular, especially as the one of the books that I always sort of equate my book to is the book The Shack. That sold, it was published for 18 months before it even was noticed. And then all of a sudden it sold, you know, I don't know, 50 million copies or whatever it ended up selling. It's going to be made into a movie now as well.
Wow.
So the idea that I see that, but I've witnessed that, but even with that incredible journey and even with having had what I think is great success at using the law of attraction on my behalf, I still run into days of doubt. And I find that to be fascinating unto itself. Why?
Yeah.
What is it? What is the power of the negative that even when you're really convinced of all this, that you can't stop these downward spirals? We talk about spirals and we mention them often. And when they're downward, they can be almost impossible to stop.
Well, I'll tell you, as you know, and as many of our listeners know, we usually record our show on Saturday mornings. This week, because of technical difficulties we ran into, we're actually recording it on a Sunday night. And just before I came to this place here so we can do the recording, I was with my wife watching that old movie about the Nixon Watergate scandal, All the President's Men. And as I'm watching the movie, of course, I've seen the movie, I don't know, a dozen times or something. But as I'm watching, I'm paying close attention to all the different ways that the movie very successfully plays on my emotions. It doesn't really matter what I'm thinking about. Doesn't really matter what I'm focusing on. The movie is always able to draw me back. And I think that's probably a big piece of the puzzle we're trying to kind of delve into here. We are in a world surrounded by all kinds of situations and people and places and events that are dramatically emotionally filled. And emotion just draws our attention. So I think that's part of the answer. I mean, maybe it's kind of, I don't know, maybe it's saying the same thing that you're saying in a different way. But it, to me, the fact that we are so easily drawn to emotion helps to explain why we can get into these negative spirals so easily. I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong.
I think you're dead on. I have a concept that I'm working on mentally about how emotions and how we actually set ourselves up unintentionally for those upwards and downward spirals. I try to intentionally set myself for upward spirals every day, but the downward spirals can come out of nowhere.
And that's actually encouraging. I know that sounds weird, but that's encouraging. Because the fact, one of the things that has always fascinated me, it sounds like it's a tangent, but it really isn't. One of the things that fascinates me about many people who are gurus in this industry in the whole law of attraction thing, is that many of them will tell you, and even people who are kind of outside of it but interested in the positive psychology part, they'll tell you that you can't be happy all the time. And I find that to be particularly interesting because there are people who are depressed all the time. Yes. There are people who are in absolute misery all of the time, and they don't get a break. So how is it possible that we're capable of feeling endless negative emotion but not endless positive emotion?
And to me, if one side exists, the other has to.
Of course,
there's always
it does.
Balance.
Yes.
And so I had a day that I want to share about, and it was a week ago Thursday, I believe, and I can see where I set myself up for a downward spiral because I had scheduled a Comcast appointment at 8 a.m. And that right off the bat, if you've ever dealt with Comcast or the cable company or the utility companies, you have set yourself up for some interesting stuff. So
So
this was a Thursday morning. I got up and I didn't feel quite right. I may have had a headache. I'm in excellent health. I feel wonderful every day of my life. And I couldn't quite identify what it was. Is it maybe allergies? But it wasn't major, but I could tell I wasn't quite on. So the appointment schedule was between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. And so I was hoping they would be here right at 8 a.m., quickly install everything, and then be out the door and I could go hit the gym really quickly. That was my goal.
Well, that was a wonderful goal, I have to say.
It was.
It was completely unrealistic, but it was wonderful.
Exactly. So, of course, I'm there, and at 10 a.m., literally at 10 a.m., my doorbell rings. And he's on the back end. Very nice gentleman, by the way. And he walks in, and he sees my TV, and he said, oh, well, they didn't send me a high-def box. They just sent me a standard cable box with no DVR.
This is what we call a V8 moment.
Yes, and so I was like, oh. He said, but no problem, I have one in the car.
Oh, good.
And I said, well, that's wonderful. So what happened was we were able to work that out. I had ordered, how we even got to this place, is I was having trouble with my internet, and the lady sold me on the idea that she could provide me for less money than I was paying for internet alone, my cable, and I could do away with DirecTV. That was my goal, save $100 a month at least.
Okay.
So it sounded okay. Well, he came in and he started working and he put the cable box in and he says, well, now I don't have the DVR box for you. I do have the other boxes you need, but what I'll do is I'll put in the order. They will be mailed to you and all you have to do is hook them up. I said, that would be wonderful. I said, thank you for your help. And he kept having troubles getting it changed over, and then he brought in four boxes, and they were all coded wrong, but we eventually got it done. It took him all the way till noon, but we got it done. And I said, well, when my new boxes come, I'll actually have the cable that I wanted. So I then called DirecTV, and the DirecTV gentleman was nice, and getting away from DirecTV may be harder than getting out of the mafia. He kept offering me deals to stay, and I said, I've already changed, I'm sorry. And so at the end of the call, he says, there's going to be $100 early cancellation fee. And I said, that's not possible. I've been with DirecTV for 4 years, and I only had a two-year agreement. I'm not paying that. And he says, well, I'm going to bill it to your credit card. He was pretty aggressive with that. And he said, you owe it. I said, well, I would like to appeal that because I would like to see where I renewed my agreement. I haven't. And he claimed I did in March. And so now I'm fuming. I've waited all morning. I've had to cancel appointments. I'm at my house. I know I need to get to the gym and work out. And the phone rang. And I knew better than to answer this call because I have caller ID like everybody else. And as you know, I've been working too hard to bring in another foster child into my home.
Right.
We'll talk about that later. But so this is from the agency that was going to is facilitating that. I'm a therapeutic foster parent with this agency.
Okay.
And so the gentleman, he's the caseworker. He calls and he said, "We've identified this young man." He said. And I already knew this, that I needed a meeting. Well, this is Thursday. Well, it just so happened I had a client cancel who had a court date the next day. I had Friday afternoon totally open. This is on a Thursday. I said, that is wonderful. I can go over there and meet him. And if there's a good match, then we can proceed forward. And I said, that's good news. He says, well, he said, no, I have to go with you and I can't go tomorrow. And I said, well, let's go Saturday. He says, well, I can't work Saturday. And I said, well, I'm failing to see why I need a person there. I'm a therapist. I've worked with kids a long time. I'm certainly not going to say anything to upset the child. I won't be out of an adult's view. There's no logical reason you need to be there. And he says, well, let me check with my supervisor. And so he calls back and he says, no, one of us has to be there and we can't be there. It would, in the next couple of weeks, we can get over there. And then I go on a tangent of this is how children end up in foster care for 2 years is because grownups are worried about appointments. And so and internally, I'm telling myself, just shut up. You're having a bad day. Just
isn't
shut
that
up.
Something, shut though? Up. I mean, because you can be in the middle of those spirals and you can hear that little voice shutting up and you don't shut up. It's the strangest thing.
I'm almost to the point of becoming inappropriate and getting angry. And I almost said, and I truly did, I almost said, forget about it. I wasn't going to say forget about it, but I almost said forget about it in a very inappropriate way.
Wow.
But I stopped myself, and I was really glad that I was able to stop myself.
Congratulations on that, because that's not easy to do when you're in that kind of spiral. That's a tough thing to do.
Right. So this is a day that it all sort of fell apart. Well, I hung up the phone. Well, I was in a horrible mood, and I tried all of my techniques of I need to look at the positive, look at all that's gone right in my life, look at all this stuff. And Walt, I could not do it that
way. I know. There are just times where anything you try, it's like it all seems hollow. It doesn't seem like any of it could possibly work, so you can't focus on it. So therefore, you won't focus on it.
And so I was sitting in my chair. I had two appointments that evening. They were phone appointments. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. I was in such a bad mood. And I was able to do it, and I've done this long enough but it certainly wasn't my best two sessions I've ever done in my life.
Sure.
So after they were done, I said, you know, I need to just go to bed, and tomorrow's going to be a better day. And I woke up the next day feeling a little better. I will give you credit. It's Friday. I went to the gym immediately. And that helped a lot.
Sure. Work out some of the frustration.
So I'm like, okay, look. Yes, the exercise is a natural antidepressant, natural anti-anxiety. It's wonderful. So, and I've used that tool for a long time. So I got probably back to 50%, but I still wasn't all me.
Hey, that's a good improvement, though. Improvement is what counts in that scenario.
It is. And the good news, it's taken a little while, but I'm going somewhere great with this. And so Saturday, you know, I get through Friday and I work, and it was a pretty standard day, but I knew I wasn't all the way back. And Saturday morning, my cable boxes come, and that's normally the day you and I do our show. We did our show, and I was okay. It wasn't, you know, and every time we do our show, that's very uplifting to me. So that helped a lot. So
I'm glad we were able to help that week. I mean, we gave you some energy. Yeah. We gave you some ability to help climb out of it more. So that's a good thing.
That was wonderful. In fact, we started the show a little negative, and
we did, didn't we?
Very positive, and that was great. So as soon as I got off the phone or the internet, and I went downstairs, and there was my cable boxes had arrived. And I'm like, this is wonderful.
This is great, yeah.
So I said, it turned around lovely. So I got my cable boxes, and I hooked it up, and I got these smart TVs that do all this amazing stuff, and I'm just waiting for it all to load, and then it finally says, error code, unable to load. And I said, no problem. I'll just call Comcast. So it's Saturday afternoon. I said, I don't have to be at the gym until 1. So I got all this taken care of, and I was on hold, making a long story short as possible, for 4 hours with Comcast.
Oh dear.
And I spoke with one of their head technicians after a while. Very nice man. Everybody's being nice, but nobody knows what's wrong. And he said, it took me a while. He says, the boxes aren't coded for your account, so it's showing an error. He said, I tried to code them, but I don't have access to that. He said, I know that you're going to hate this, but call back to that same number and the lady will code the boxes for you. It'll take 5 minutes. And I said, okay, well, finally it's going to get done. Now I'm very frustrated again. And so I called her back, and she I recalled that number back, and I'm not getting the same person every time.
Right.
So this lady clearly was not having her best day.
Oh, dear.
And so I said, I spoke with, she said, well, I need to reset your cable box. I said, no, I've already spoke with the head technician. All you need to do is code my boxes to match my account, and we'll be in great shape. I don't know what you're talking about. That makes no sense. And I said, ma'am, I said, and I explained it to her again. She said, well, I want to reset your cable box. I said, ma'am, that's been done 50 times. I said, it's not the problem. Could you check with your supervisor and ask what you need to do to code my boxes to match the account? I wrote the words down. So I don't think she went to her supervisor. She came back in less than 30 seconds. Said, supervisor doesn't know either. And I said, never mind.
So you're caught up in somebody else's negative spiral.
I said, never mind. I said, I will deal with this later. I just put it all, hooked the old cable boxes back up. Said, I'll deal with this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday came along, and I said, never mind. I don't want this stress. I'm just going to wait until Monday. This is what I should have done before I got so frustrated. I'm going to call and have them send a technician out and just let him figure it out.
Okay.
That's the simplest thing to do. So Sunday, once I sort of made that up, Sunday I went back to the gym and I was applying all this stuff and I'm feeling really good again. I mean, I was 95% back by Sunday evening. I was doing some meditating and feeling really well.
And it makes sense because Monday, basically you released, you let it go.
Yes, let it go. Now here's where this comes about. So after meditating I've been on a news blackout. I've been listening to the positive stuff. Well, I took a couple of days off not listening to the positive stuff because I wasn't in the mood for it, to be honest with you. I just really wasn't. So I was listening to this gentleman about, it's called epigenetics. It's a term where epigenetics discusses your DNA is pliable by the attention and your attitude versus DNA being stuck. So I love that. It's law of attraction. Science is what it is.
Uh-huh.
So Monday morning, I'm listening to that, and I didn't have to be in the office till about 11. So I said, well, let me call. I called it, right, probably about 8:30, 9 o'clock. I called this customer service, really nice young man answers. And I said, I had a terrible weekend with Comcast. I said, I just need to set up an appointment for a technician. And he knew how to handle me. He was great. He said,
good.
I will set that for you. He said, but let me try one thing. And if it doesn't work, we'll have the guy out there tomorrow.
Okay.
And I said, yeah, you're welcome to. I said, if you can do it, you've done what no one over the weekend could do in 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours of my time. Before I could finish that sentence, Walt, the TV came on. He said, all I had to do was code your boxes correctly.
Wow.
I said, sir, thank you. I said, you should be CEO of Comcast. I said, if you were over the weekend, you'd have saved me a lot of stress. So that was great. No, and here's where this spiral upward starts. I'm feeling good now.
And I want to touch. I love the spiral. I want to come back to that spiral upward because that's an important one. But I want to point out something really, really critical here. Early on, when you were in a bad place, you were getting people who only knew how to avoid the whole question of coding the box. The moment you got yourself into a good place, all of a sudden you got somebody who volunteered the idea of coding the box. That's huge. That's gigantic.
So I get, get everything together, getting ready to go into the office. DirecTV calls. And I'm like, oh boy, let's don't run this good day. But I went ahead and answered it. And they said, we are so sorry. We made an error in discussing with you last week.
Wow.
We cannot find where you have signed or verbally agreed to extend that. So we're crediting your account $100.
Oh, man.
I said, thank you. So I get in my car, go to work. Now, Walt, this was happening back to back to back. I mean,
that's a spiral. That's an upward spiral.
It's an upward spiral. I'm in my car. I have my Bluetooth headset on. The social worker that had I got so frustrated with called me, and he said, hey, how was your weekend? I said, great. And I was about to apologize for and I didn't do anything inappropriate, but I was very
for thinking it. Yeah.
yeah. And I was about to apologize for that. I was going to tell you however it's going to take. He said, I really appreciate you calling me out Friday. He said, it's easy to get caught up in the minutia of work.
Wow.
And forget what our job is.
Wow.
He said, can you go see this young man tomorrow? And I said, I will make it happen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So we went from, and so this was just, I mean, now all of a sudden I am, as bad as I was Thursday, I am Superman at this point. I am feeling incredibly well.
And I remember, I remember that day. That was a Monday, right? That was the day that you posted on Facebook what an incredible Monday you were having. But I had no idea it was this incredible.
It was. And so, you know, I that day just, you know, finding out I'm going to meet this young man and you know, those that you know, that know, you know, I lost my son TJ to an automobile accident several years ago, and and I never thought I would foster or adopt again, and there's certainly a foster care potential here, and even a possible adoption at some point. Mm-hmm. And so Walt, this gets to the point that you will not believe how amazing this is. So I visit the young man the next day, and I just wanted to get a feel if we're going to have a connection. He's 10 years old. This young man is brilliant. I mean, he is amazing. So I knew within 5 minutes of meeting him, we were on a great wavelength.
Wow.
I stayed and had dinner with him, and the caseworker, the social worker, he did go with me, and he was very, again, very supportive and you know, all that. So they set it up that I would have a visit this past Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And I would spend all day, because what they do is they try to introduce him to the idea of him and I would go out and do fun things.
Right.
So, and plus they put him on the phone list. So you won't believe one of the things that got going while this was such a perfect match. And we had a great time Saturday, but during the week he loves science.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he asked me the question. He said, do you know the left side of your brain controls the right side of your body and vice versa? And I go, I do know that. And then I asked him a question. I said, do you know the primitive part of your brain is where your heart beats and you don't have to think? He goes, I know that. and so we start going back and forth. And I said, and do you realize that you create your own reality by your thoughts?
Ooh.
And he goes, nobody's ever told me that. I said, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And so he's like, tell me more. So the fact that he's fascinated by this stuff is amazing. And we're going to have a lot of fun talks about it, but Walt, this is a perfect match. And I had the most incredible week, but the piece that I want to share with that I was so desperate to share with our audience this week is those downward spirals are so difficult. And a lot of people who say, well, you're doing it wrong. I couldn't stop it. I tried. I'm being honest. I'm being brutally honest. I was not able to stop it that Thursday. I really wasn't.
And that's saying something, because you're actually very good at stopping downward spirals. You've got a lot of practice at it.
Yes, they don't normally get me, but that was, but what I try to do is focus on, you know, look at that upward spiral on Monday. It was more intense. You know, we talk about which one's more intense, the negative or the positive. That upward spiral had me, I talk about when I'm really feeling this. I was getting that vibrational state where I really feel like I'm vibrating. It brought me to that.
Yeah.
And this is, it was such an amazing thing, but where I want to tell our audience, and I want to continue to be brutally honest about these things, and as you always are too, but I think what separates what you and I do is we lay it out there. We go through this stuff, and I don't claim to do it perfectly, but I don't know what I could have done that would have stopped that Thursday spiral. Now, I did all the right things the next day and the day after and all that, pulled myself out of it, but it is a real thing. So when people are struggling and they're going, I'm not getting this because I'm having these things, understand everybody does, and I want to defeat them. I want to get to the point where they have no power over me. But Thursday was a big wake up call for me, and I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and even more than that, you also realized on Thursday and Friday. I mean, you kind of touched on it there toward the end, but you also kind of downplayed it. But it was important. You went to bed Thursday feeling bad. You woke up Friday, in your words, feeling a little bit better. But that was the right direction. It was at least pointing in the right direction. And it was you were still dealing with that negative spiral. It was still happening. But the fact that you were looking for, you were reaching for, you were trying to find some way to climb out of it. You just kept looking and looking and looking. Eventually, you got to the point where it came to you where you said, I just got to let go. I just got to stop trying to deal with these Comcast folks that are driving me nuts. I just got to let the whole thing go and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry about this till Monday. I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my weekend. And that's how you climbed out of it.
Yes.
That's exactly how you did
it. And that piece, well, and one of the things that I kept trying to think about Thursday when I was in the middle of it, I'm like, why am I allowing something like cable TV, which I don't even watch TV?
That's funny, Joel. You got to admit, that's really funny.
It is. I don't even watch it.
You're going through all this stuff or something, and you don't even watch the darn thing.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. It truly wasn't logical. At the worst case scenario, it was going to cost me $150, $200 of money just to get it back to where it was.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't live in a world. I don't want to live in a world where $150, $200 is going to ruin my day. And it wasn't really about the money. It was just about the feeling of the world making me powerless. And I was stuck in it. I was stuck in the bureaucracy and on three different levels.
Exactly.
I was being attacked. Here I am trying to help this kid and this guy's telling me about grown-ups have meetings that can't be there. And I'm like, what? This kid's 10 years old. Do you think he really cares that you have a meeting tomorrow?
Just
finding and these things are easy to get on your high horse about and change it. But I did take the steps and I did apply it. And it did take me a couple of days to totally get back where I'm at. But I voluntarily am the one that allowed this. I could see me allowing myself to be affected by this.
Sure.
And I do have a negative, no matter how positive I try to put a spin on it. Anytime I have to contact Comcast, DirecTV, or any, and I'm not picking on these guys only, but any big corporation like that.
Any with a big call center.
Insurance companies. Yes. Because you have a lot of people there that really, they're there just to collect a paycheck. They're not vested. This young man I spoke with was truly vested in his job. He gave me great service. Mm. What an amazing young man he was. And I made sure I told him that. But I'm excited because I was able to go through this. And I was excited to see it. Not that I want to do downward spirals frequently. But to have it sort of thrown on me that way, I keep telling you, I'm still in kindergarten here in a lot of ways. I still have a lot to learn, and I enjoy learning. I'm a lifelong learner, but the fact that I'm still have days where I have to learn is actually exciting to me.
And as you told us many times in the past, you actually appreciate the stuff that is what most people would call the really bad stuff in your life. This doesn't even come close to the stuff that's your really bad stuff in life. But you've learned so much from it. You've gotten so much from it. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of imagine that you look at something as minor as the Comcast situation in very much the same light. It actually was an opportunity for you to do something you hadn't done before, and you got a tremendous result out of it.
Yeah, and to me, it's a training exercise. I can see where the universe had a training exercise for me, and I needed that. I needed to be reminded, and as I'm going to be having an overnight visit with my foster son next week, and if all goes well, within a couple of weeks, he'll be here full time.
Wow,
I'm excited about
that. That's exciting, right there.
It is. And I need to be aware. I need to be on my toes because I want to really work with this young man, and helping him understand all the, I've already taken one step. One of the sad things that happens in foster care, and there's a movement to change this. And anybody that wants to email me, I have information that groups that help this. But when foster care kids go from home to home, they often move their clothes in large garbage bags.
Mm.
What is that saying? I mean, what message are you saying there? Your stuff is garbage and we're going to move it to your temporary home.
Right.
Well, I have already, my foster son has three huge suitcases already there. So when it's time for him to move, he will move with suitcases.
Uh-huh.
And I want to help him understand that, no matter what has happened at this point, he's in control of his thoughts and his, this is going to be a law of attraction kid. I feel it really strongly.
Mm.
And I'm excited to have him here. I'm excited, I'm the one that everybody said, well, he's hit the lottery when he got you for five. I said, I'm the one that hit the lottery. I mean, I'm really excited to have him. And this is an exciting time. So I'm all this stuff that happened was it was a little reminder. Don't get too complacent. I have work to do. I'm glad I was able to do it. And I look forward to the day when there can't be a downward spiral. I believe that. I believe I can get there.
And it does have a nice little message in it, which is on those days when it finally does come where you're in a negative spiral and for whatever reason, that particular day, I can't climb out of the negative spiral. What can I do? Let's see. What was it I did that other time? Oh, yeah, it was release. What is it I have to release? I have to release something. What is it that I'm releasing? Oh, yeah, I have to look at what's going on here in this negative spiral and just let go of whatever it is I'm stressing about. I can't let go of that. This is too important. Yes, I can. Yes. Actually, I can get it. Like, that's how you do it. That's the process, right? That's how you finally put it all in perspective and say, I'm going to put this off for 2 days. I don't need to feel this negative thing going on right now. This is how I'm going to climb out of my negative spiral.
And that is, you know, that is the piece that I'm excited to have happen, that I'm excited to work on. And so I want to, you know, I'm going to continue to process all that. But the fact that I was able to go through it and then to have that Monday where I was rewarded with one of the greatest upward spirals I've ever been in. I mean, it was just tangibly wonderful. I mean, where you know, and the timing of things. The interesting thing is that as addressing the things that fell apart, you know, the Comcast, DirecTV, social worker, they resolved in the exact same order.
That's pretty strange. Like
it really was. So you know the I have a new picture on my wall or a new painting on my wall that says we're not given a good life or a bad life, we're given a life it's up to us to make it good or bad. And we're given a day, and within same theory, I get to make that good or I get to make that bad. And I got to remind myself, there's days when there's forces that are going to be pulling against me. If I give in to them, I can have a downward spiral. That's very important for everybody to remember.
And the other thing that's important to remember is that if you're in that negative spiral, if you're willing to take the steps to try to remember that key thing, what's that key thing? Oh, yeah, I got to release something and just kind of work your way out of it. There's a reason for doing that. It isn't just that you'll feel better. The other reason is if you do it to the best of your ability and you do it the quickest that you can do it, you're setting yourself up for the best of all possible worlds, that Monday upward spiral that you experienced. That's the flip side. It's not just avoiding the pain. It's going after something that could be truly wonderful.
Yes, and that was just a reinforcer. So I truly don't view everybody said, well, you had a, you know, sounds like you had a really bad day. And I go, well, I again, my perspective has changed on that Thursday. It wasn't a bad day. It was a necessary day that led me to the greatest upper spiral I've had in a long time.
Yeah. And, actually, and I look at that as it wasn't, you had a bad day. It's that you had a day that was followed by three wonderful upward days.
Yes. Yes, and it just everything before, just kept I guess it going was. Forward. Yeah, and so I'm excited. I'm excited to share it. I'm also as we're doing it, you know, we talk about, you know, the daily notes that Mike Dooley puts out. That was sort of our, you know, we mentioned that, and I try to pull those up on my phone and read them every day, especially when I was in the downward spiral. I find it interesting, and I will continue to dissect this. How I had an aversion to doing that. I didn't want to do it. I was like, it was almost like, and I didn't have this thought, but it was almost like, I don't want to feel better. Now I did, but a side of me almost didn't, it seemed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's familiar, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, that's just the piece that I just was so loving and so grateful that, you know, when I had that Monday and then I could piece it all together. And I don't know if I could have, well, the upper spiral was wonderful unto itself, but it was made possible by the downward spiral.
And I'm glad that you tried to bring Mike Dooley back into it, because obviously that's the way we started. And this is actually the point he was trying to make. He was saying, focus only on the big picture, the big goal of where you want to get to. Do not, yes, under any circumstances, try to figure out how to get there. Because, yes, that's what you did on Thursday. You spent Thursday, yes, trying to figure out how to get there. And ended, yes, up making yourself feel miserable. And you felt less miserable on Friday, less miserable still on Saturday. But Saturday, you came to a decision. You said, you know what? I'm not going to try to figure out how to get there anymore. I am sick of trying to figure out how to get there. It doesn't make me feel good. I'm just going to say, to heck with it until Monday. I'm going to have a good rest of the weekend. And that's the moment where you, yes, cut the cord and allowed what Mike teaches to come to the fore. And bam, you got hit with a mother of all upward spirals by Monday.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, that such a good training tool, letting go. What did I need to let go of? Not hang on to.
Yeah.
And the idea that I was so stuck on making that work, and it's something that I don't even really care about, is the amazing thing.
It's so appropriate, though. I mean, how many people have something like that in their lives that they obsess about? I know I have many of these things that I obsess about that I'm trying to stop obsessing on. Like, why do I even think about this? It doesn't even affect me. And yet we all do it.
Yeah, we all do it. And so that was... but it's been a spectacular week, and I'm so excited about where all this is going, and I feel wonderful. And I'm living that. I've been sort of living that. I've had a good day ever since, of that very good upward spiral stuff.
And it's been more than a day since then, so you've had an extended day. That's lasted practically a week now.
Yeah, that's what I love. That's what I love. It's been a blessing. It really has. So I'm look forward to seeing where this goes next. I look forward to just sort of continuing to learn, and that's what I love learning about this stuff, and I love applying it to my life. But I, most importantly, I love the reinforcement that I get when I see it work.
Mm.
That's what I love.
Yeah, because it's so easy when you're in even a neutral place, and neutral is really just a mild form of negative, but even when you're in a neutral place, it's just so easy to kind of fall into that realm of lackadaisical, I don't really care, nothing really good is going to happen to me anyway, and you just kind of, you know, float along in that place, which is actually a really miserable place to be in. So to hear a story like this is a reminder that I don't have to stay there. Yes. I can actually reach for the stars, and best part of all, I don't have to figure out how to get there. That's the best news, and that's big for me. I don't know if I can explain to you how big that is, but all of my life, Joel, I have been the ultimate analytical thinker. Analytical thinker. I mean, from the youngest age I can possibly remember, it's all been about problem solving. And an interesting thing about that, too, I noticed this just this past week in a conscious way that I hadn't really noticed before. I have a very strong tendency to attract problems into my life. Why? Well, quite obviously, because I am a problem solver. And when you're a problem solver, you're focusing on problems. So guess what the universe does? It delivers more problems. Hey!
Absolutely.
Funny thing, Joel. I've discovered something about myself. I really don't like solving problems. All these years, I've been solving problems and doing it quite diligently and often very well. And you know what? I'm sick to death of it.
Wow. Well, that I don't know if you, and I think you do, because I can tell by how you're talking. I don't know if you really, really understand how big that discovery is.
I don't think I actually do. I have a feeling that it's big, but no, I don't think I really get it yet.
Yeah, because that you know, when you just because you're a good problem solver doesn't mean that you want problems. There's a difference. And you have unintentionally, when you're unintentionally inviting problems into your life that you have to keep fixing, it drains you.
Mm.
And that, you know, one of the things that I work very hard on, it's not a problem solving as much in my world, dealing with addiction. Another definition for addiction in my mind is chaos. there's chaos in addiction. And I hate chaos. So I have to work very hard working in addiction to separate from the chaos that's on the edge at all times. And chaos is a disruptive force for a lot of people. In your case, it's problems. So learning to...
It's interesting you say that about chaos, though. That's very interesting. Because one of the skills that I've learned over the years as a problem solver is to... Basically, I've learned to filter the chaos out. I know it's there. I know it's coming at me. In fact, the chaos is usually in the form of how the problems are coming to me because they're piling up one on top of the other. So I couldn't possibly solve them all at the same time, even if I really wanted to, which I don't anymore. But that's what tends to happen. They just keep piling in, piling in, piling in. And yet I have learned the ability of pushing the secondary stuff out of the way to focus on just the one problem that I want to solve and solve it, and then solve the next one, and then solve the next one, which on the surface sounds pretty good, but when you think about it, it also means that the problems are just going to keep coming in larger and larger numbers. So I guess I'm saying I don't have the fear, if you will, of the chaos or the dislike of the chaos. It's more that I really don't want to focus on either the chaos or the problems anymore. Neither one's really good for me.
Right. Well, part of your next step, I think, is understanding you do have a skill at problem solving.
Oh yeah.
But allowing that to be a skill, but not allowing it to be a magnet of problems. That's your next step of separating that.
Yeah.
Because I tried to explain to there's a gentleman the other day. He was having trouble. This sounds so silly. It was a Friday night. He said, "I have a drip in my son's bathroom. Will you come over?" And I said, "Come over and help." I go, "I am the worst person to ever touch plumbing. Please don't let me touch plumbing." And he laughed. And I said, "Can I just give you some advice from years of me doing stuff like this? It's just a little drip. Why don't you leave it till Monday? Because it's Friday night at 9 o'clock. And I almost guarantee you, at least if it were my world, I'm going to be blowing up the water and you're going to be calling a plumber at midnight." And he laughed. And he goes, "No, it can't. It's just water here." I see him the next day. He said, "I had to pay the plumber $900 to come out last night." He said, I broke the thing trying to fix it. Water was shooting out from underneath the sink. And I'm going, I said, "I am so sorry. I did not." He goes, "No." He said, "I invited that problem. You gave me a warning about exactly what happened." I said, "I did not mean to do that. I didn't mean to invite that." And he said, "No." He said, "You gave me good advice. Don't mess with it on a Friday night, because that's going to," he said, "mess with it on a Monday morning. What if you do need to call a plumber? You can turn off the water, the plumber come right out."
Yeah, and it won't be a $900 bill. It'll be a $300 bill.
Right, exactly. And so he just I saw that happen. So sometimes we unintentionally or even intentionally step into these problems. When in my downward spiral day, setting up the appointment for Comcast at 8 o'clock, I need to be aware I'm susceptible that day, and I didn't need to call DirecTV that day. I didn't need to answer the phone when that social worker called because I was in a horrible mood when he rang. I need to learn that and not jump into these things when I'm in the middle of that mood. And there's a way to stay away from downward spirals that way, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. I agree completely. And indeed, that's part of what I've been focusing on learning to do. Trying to basically filter out the problem mode that has been coming at me and looking for, you know what? I can put that problem aside. I can put that one aside too, and probably that one too. And then we'll see where we sit tomorrow. And it feels better instantly.
Right.
Just as it feels good doing this show every week. I mean, that's what the show does for me. It feels great. It's like the break from the problem solving.
Exactly. And so I just love self-discovery. I love understanding how our brains work, how the law of attraction, how positive, just that whole positive vibration, vibrating on a positive level, what it brings to my life. It's brought so much to my life, and learning, even though I fumble with it on occasion, it's a great gift that I am so blessed that, I really believe I'm blessed that I discovered this.
We both are, no doubt about it. And I'm looking forward to doing more shows. Unfortunately, we're out of time this week, but let's pick it up again next week, Joel.
Great to talk to you, buddy.
We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody. It might seem-